Thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And Father, I ask now as we go into the ministry part of the service today that you would be in our midst. And Father, that as I bring forth the word, Father, as you've laid it upon my heart, Father, that you would bring the words to my memory, Father, that I would speak forth the words, Father, that you would have me to speak. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. According to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the word afflict can mean to distress so severely as to cause persistent suffering or anguish. It comes from the Latin word afflictus, to cast down or to strike down. In its obsolete definition, it can mean to humble or to overthrow. Afflicted is the past tense of afflict, showing that this has already happened. For example, my friend was afflicted with arthritis, and they have had this particular thing come upon them to cause them severe difficulty. Praise the Lord. Anyway, how many want to be afflicted? Anybody here want to be afflicted? Well, I don't think anybody does. Yet the vast majority of people around the world are afflicted with one thing or another. You stop to think about that. The vast majority of people around the world are afflicted with one thing or another. For example, it may be something physical. And we all have friends that we know that are afflicted with some type of physical problem. Maybe it's some are afflicted with diseases such as cancer, for example. Other may be afflicted with problems with, as we mentioned earlier, arthritis, or they may have a problem walking and they're afflicted in their ability to walk. It can be various types of physical difficulty that they have as an affliction. Others may have some type of mental or emotional affliction. And it's amazing today how many folks actually have that happening in their life. They have an emotional affliction. Something is bothering them. And it just grinds on them day after day after day after day. And they feel afflicted by it. They just finally, some people snap from this emotional problem that they've got, and they do things they shouldn't ought to do. People have mental afflictions. Some folks are born with mental problems that they're not able to maybe learn or to comprehend or to understand as other people would. So they're afflicted with that. It may be a financial affliction. And you know what? I would dare say that probably everyone here today, and probably most of the people that are going to be listening to me, have been afflicted financially in recent months or years. We all feel that pinch in our wallet, it seems like. Folks who have their own business, they're feeling it because business is down. You're working at a job and maybe you haven't gotten a raise in a couple of years. You're feeling the pinch financially. You know what? Your pocketbook, your check doesn't get any bigger, but your expenses do. Anybody experience that? I think we all do. Your expenses get bigger and bigger, but your income doesn't. So it can be a financial affliction. It may even be a spiritual affliction. There are a lot of folks that are fighting spiritual battles out there today, and the vast majority of them probably don't realize that they are fighting a spiritual battle, that they're involved in some form of spiritual warfare. Because first of all, our enemy, Satan, the devil, does not want you to live for God. In fact, it would please him nothing more than if you would turn your back, curse God, and follow after him. That's what he would like for you to do. So he will afflict you spiritually and cause things to happen to you spiritually that he thinks will cause you to turn from God. You know, we're all familiar, I guess, with the story of Job, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but the devil wanted to try to get Job to curse God, turn his back on God. So he afflicted him various ways. He afflicted him financially. He afflicted him emotionally. He afflicted him physically. He afflicted him in every way that he could. He was afflicted. So how many want to be afflicted? Well, I sure didn't get any hands on that. Yet the Bible, you know what the Bible is? That's God's Word. God's Word in printed form. The Bible tells us, it is good that I have been afflicted. You say, whoops, is that really in there? Are you sure it says that? Well, let's turn to Psalms chapter 119, verses 65 through 72. Psalms chapter 119, verses 65 through 72. Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is fat as grease, but I delight in their law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Let's reread verse 71 so we just make sure that you really read it there and you really saw it. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Okay, so some people, you know, a lot of people out there today like to try to find mistranslations. And they like to debate what God's Word has to say, and they'll try to find some way. You know, today there are Bibles out there that want to leave out gender references, and they don't want to refer to God as He or as Father, and some even say Father, Mother. So there's some various translations out there that if you read them, you can really get mixed up. But if you go back to what it says here in the Hebrew, Ana, it's translated 50 times as afflict. That same word, afflict, in the Hebrew, 50 times. In today's bulletin, there's a Reverend Fun cartoon, and it shows Daniel walking arm in arm with two lions, one on each side. And one says to Daniel, remember the time you got thrown into our den and everybody thought we were going to eat you? That was awesome. Can you just imagine this now? And most folks, that's one of the stories in the Bible that a lot of people, even folks that don't go to church very often or sometimes don't go at all, are familiar with. And it's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Because here we find Daniel, who is a man of God. He's a prophet. He is a young man taken captive into Babylon, where he found favor with those that were in rule and in charge. And in this particular instance, in chapter 6, we find here, he had found favor with King Darius. And because he had found such great favor with the king, and the king was considering putting him in charge of the whole kingdom. Well, you know what? Sometimes when you get blessed, and good things come your way, people get jealous. That Larry Espinosa, he got a promotion at work, and he shouldn't have had it. It should have been mine. And I'm going to fix his wagon. I'm going to find some way to sabotage him. Well, that's kind of the way it was. And some of you have seen this happen on your jobs. You see somebody gets promoted. Maybe you got promoted and somebody came and they started all kinds of problems because you got it and they didn't, and they're jealous and so on. Well, these other 119 viceroys, as it translates into English, they got jealous because Daniel was in line to get this position. So the scripture tells us here in chapter 6, they conspired against him. They wanted to afflict him. They wanted to get rid of him. Well, it ended up that they got him thrown in the lion's den. And they thought that that was the end of their problems. But what does the scripture tell us there? Daniel spent the night in the lion's den, and these lions were probably hungry. But it says God shut the mouths of the lions. And even though they might have looked at Daniel and thought, that's a tasty looking morsel there, God would not allow them to do what they wanted to do. And the scripture goes on to tell us the next day, the king was a little concerned here. He goes down and finds Daniel still in the lion's den, has him taken out, and guess what? Some other folks got thrown in, and those lions said, it's feast time now. Daniel might have been a tasty morsel, but now we've got a feast. And Daniel survived that, but he was afflicted here. People told lies about him. They conspired to have him killed. And had it not been for the hand of God, Daniel would have met his fate there in the lion's den. But they conspired against him. In verse 69, it says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. People will conspire against you sometimes when you're a Christian. We're living in a world today where they just really are getting to the point they don't like Christians. Everybody else is okay, but we don't like Christians. Anybody else can get up and say a prayer, but not a Christian. Well, a Christian can get up and say a prayer as long as they don't mention God, they don't mention Jesus. In fact, I was just listening this morning to a program, and it was talking about one well-known minister. If I said his name, everybody would know it, that he prayed at a particular conference, and he closed his prayer instead of in the name of Jesus or in the name of Yeshua. He closed in the name of the Islamic Jesus. That's what it's coming to. People don't like Christians. The world is getting to where it doesn't like Christians. Yet if you look back in history, who has done more to help the world in times of trouble, in times of hardship, in times when great disasters took place, but the Christians? Because they believed that they were fulfilling the mission that God sent them to go into the world. And some of the greatest organizations that we have in the world today that provide for people in times of hardship and in times of disaster started out as Christian-based organizations. Well, the results of Daniel's being thrown into the lion's den, the outcome, verse 26 of chapter 6, here's what the king had to say. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. God could even use and speak to a heathen king who recognized Daniel's God is God. And his kingdom is steadfast, his kingdom is sure, and it will endure. All these other kingdoms failed, and vanished into history. But God's kingdom goes on. God's word goes on. Jesus himself told us that we can expect to be afflicted. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." I want to read that particular verse to you again in the Complete Jewish Bible, where it says, "And at that time you will be arrested and handed over to be punished and put to death, and all peoples will hate you because of me." Read the news. That's all you got to do. Read the news. Various parts of the world, Christians being arrested, Christians being killed, simply because they followed Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, yeah, but that's Pakistan, Afghanistan, some of those countries over there, and they're halfway around the world." You better read the news a little bit closer, because it's starting to happen here in America, because Christians are being arrested in some cases just simply because they wanted to stand for the things of God. Things that pertain to Christianity are being taken down. They're wanting to get rid of them. And things that have been around for many, many years that gave a witness to Christianity are being removed and being pulled away. These things are happening in the world today. As Christians, you can expect to be afflicted. But none of us really want to be afflicted, do we? Because affliction involves some hardship. It involves some hard times. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1 and 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." And again, I want to read that in the Complete Jewish Bible. "So if we undergo trials, it is for your encouragement and deliverance. And if we are encouraged, that should encourage you when you have to endure sufferings like those we are experiencing." Our afflictions can help us to grow and to learn. It can also help us to help others who are going through affliction. Sometimes we are afflicted with something and we have to go through a hard time in our life just simply because down the road we're going to come in contact with somebody who's going through a very similar circumstance. And because now we understand, we have empathy with them because of what they're going through, we can say, "I know what you're going through, but listen, here is how God helped me to get through this." And there are a lot of suffering people out there that would like to find somebody that can say, "I know what you're going through. I feel for you. But listen, here's how God helped me to get through this. And this is how God can help you to get through it." Sometimes we have to go through affliction so that God can work his way in someone else's life and speak to their hearts. Sometimes we go through affliction simply because we are not walking on the right path. Let's go back to Psalms 119 and in verses 65 through 68 there. "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." All know people that have gone astray. We all know people that have been in church. We all know people that have been serving God, and something happens in their life and they begin to go astray, and they begin to get out of the things of God, and they begin to do things that God has said you should not do. And sometimes they are afflicted to help them get back on the right path. And I know sometimes we pray for people that are going through some things. But sometimes I've got news for you folks. God is letting them go through it to get their attention and to get them to turn back to him. You know, let's just face it. The easiest way to get somebody to turn to God sometimes is for something to go wrong. The aircraft hit the Twin Towers. Thousands of lives were lost in those events of that day. It was a horrible thing. And Sunday, people were seeking God. People were seeking God that night. Churches were full that night. But the sad part about it, there was affliction coming upon our nation. We had been attacked. We felt it. Every man, woman, and child in the United States of America and those citizens who were living abroad felt what happened that day. Your world, it seemed like in many ways, was turned upside down. And you really didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. Lines at the gas pumps because people didn't know if there was going to be gasoline tomorrow. You look up in the sky, and if you lived anywhere near an airport where you normally saw a lot of airplanes flying overhead, you saw nothing except an occasional military aircraft fly over. And for some folks, that put a little bit of fear in their hearts because it wasn't right. Something just was not right. And people begin to cry out to God in that time of affliction. But unfortunately, we have short memories. And it wasn't but a few weeks. For most folks, everything was starting to get back to normal. Well, God, we needed you on the evening of September 11th, 2001, but here it is now. It's October the 1st, 2001, and we're doing okay, God. We'll get back to you if we need you. And unfortunately, that seems to be the attitude of a lot of people who are not in church, but also the attitude of some people who do go to church. God, we'll get back to you when we need you. We'll go to church on Sunday and we'll sing a few hymns and we'll listen to the preacher preach and we'll put a few bucks in the offering, but we'll get back to you when we need you. The fact is, folks, we need God in our life. We need God working with us, being a part of us each and every moment of our life, because it is God who allows us to take each breath we take. And if it was not for God, that breath could stop instantly and you would be in eternity. Most of us don't stop to think how close we are to that. And I know if you're young, you don't think about it. Oh, I'm 18 years old. I've just got all my life ahead of me. You know, those old folks that are 55 years old that have getting stuff off the senior citizens menu at McDonald's. They're old people. I got years ahead of me. But read the obituaries of the paper and find out how many there are that are young. And there's a lot. Kind of gets scary sometimes to me a little bit when I read the obituaries down. I find a lot of them in there that were a lot younger than me. You know. And I know as I was growing up, you know, I thought probably somewhat the same. Oh, I got a lot of time. 55 is so old. Well, now that I'm well past 55, and they don't even ask me if I want the senior citizens discount anymore, you know, I realize all the more that I'm here today because God still wants me to be here today. And my life is in His hands. And it could be cut short in an instant. We need to keep ourselves in God's hands. Yes, we're in his hands, but we need to allow ourselves, instead of fighting against God and rebelling against God and saying, I'm going to do everything I can to fight against this. We must put and hold on to God and put our trust, our faith in his word. Psalms 119 verse 92 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine afflictions. He's saying, if I hadn't been delighting in God's word, in God's law, I would have died in mine afflictions. Now remember, this is King David writing this, greatest king of Israel. But you recall, he went through many, many afflictions. Some because people were jealous of him, some because his enemies came against him, and some simply because of his own disobedience and sin in breaking God's law. Think about it. He went through some of that simply because he broke God's law. And there are people out there today that go to church and they think nothing about breaking God's law. They may do it one time too many. David, fortunately, and remember, God speaks of David and says, he's a man after my own heart. You say, but he sinned. God's telling us we can sin, but if we come to God and say, God, I messed up, forgive me, he wants to welcome us back. He wants to say, you're forgiven. David, when he went through this, he woke up to the fact that he had sinned and said, God, forgive me, a sinner. And God came back in, cleansed it away, and restored him unto righteousness. When suffering afflictions, I want you to remember these things. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And if you're going through an affliction today and you're a Christian and you're a child of God, and I want to clear something today, and I heard something on TV this morning, one of the programs we were listening to, and I don't even remember who this was or didn't hear who they were talking about, but they asked him if they were a Christian, and they said, yeah, I'm a Christian, just not one of those born again type. Well, I got news for you. If you are not one of those born again type, I don't care what you call yourself, you are not a Christian in the true sense of the word. But if you're a child of God and you're going through affliction, he's going to work everything out for you. And I know sometimes we go through affliction and we're a child of God and we're serving God and we may die because of that affliction. But guess what? God had it all worked out for us, and it's all for our good. And what we go through here is only a blip, really not even that much, in the scheme of eternity. Because when God takes us home, it's all going to be forgotten anyway. And we have that eternity of praising God and worshiping God and living in the fullness of the blessings that he has prepared for us. Why? Because he loves us. Sometimes we have to go through afflictions. Hebrews 13:5, reading this from the Complete Jewish Bible because the English in it is a little more modern. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be satisfied with what you have, for God himself has said. And I want you to remember these next few words. I will never fail you or abandon you. King James says forsake you. He is going to be with you. And I've got news for you when you go through some of these afflictions, and maybe it is one that your life has taken from you, but you know what? At that moment that that happens, God's still got his hand in yours. He's still there with you. I preached a sermon several years ago about angels, and I was telling folks that I firmly believe that if you're a Christian, when that time comes that your spirit and your soul depart from your body and you go home to be with the Lord, that you don't make that journey alone. Because I've known too many cases of Christians who died, and in those last moments, a smile came upon their face, and it was as if they could see into the heavenlies, and if someone was there to greet them and lead them home. Because God doesn't forsake us. He is going to be there for us, even though we go through afflictions. And sometimes we go through that affliction, and like I said, it may even take our life, but God has a purpose. And maybe somewhere down the road, it touches someone else's life, and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe they were on the crossroads. Maybe they were teetering on the fence, and you can't ride the fence. You might ride the fence in the political world, and you might ride the fence in the business world and a few other things, but when it comes to things with God, you cannot ride the fence. You're either on one side or the other. And there's no in between. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. He's there for you. He's going to deliver you. God himself said this, Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. All that you see around you, this physical earth that we see, those heavens that we see, they can all pass away. But what I have said, my word will never pass away. Years ago, there were times when men came into contract with one another, and they did it on a handshake because their word was their bond. Their word was their surety. If they said, I will do this, you could take that to the bank. Unfortunately, we don't see that anymore. Now we've got to go through all kinds of paperwork and legalism because of the fact that you can't depend upon someone's word. But God's word will never fail. What he has said he will do, he will do. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. And maybe you're going through an affliction because God is trying to get your attention to realize, I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need him in my heart. Well, I want to let you know today is the day. You can just simply invite him in and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I recognize and realize that I'm a sinner. I need you today. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. And you know what? When you pray a prayer just as simple as that, it doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be legalistic. Just Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. He'll do it. The Bible tells us, God's word, which will not fail, tells us he will do it. and he will come into your life. Does that guarantee that everything's going to be rosy after that? No. And anybody that tells you it is not telling you the truth. But he's going to be there with you to walk through those times of affliction. He's going to be there to hold your hand. And I've got news, when that day comes that you draw your final breath, he'll be there to hold your hand as you cross over. Because he's there for you. Father, today, as we close this message, I just pray, Father, that as you speak to hearts and lives who are listening here and abroad, Father, that people will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Today, Father, I feel this message was for some people in particular, Father, out there that are going to be listening to it. And Father, I pray that you would speak to those hearts today. Help them to realize and know that now is the time. Today is the day. I thank you for what you're going to do, for we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.